This is Sheila Hamill and Andrew Ridgwick with New Day Dawning. Welcome to the programme and thank you for joining us here on Radio Stitch for Hospitals.
I'm getting ready for a new day dawning. I'm getting ready for a brand new morning. Packing my bags for a heavenly journey. I can't wait to be there. No, I can't wait to be there.
Today is the first Sunday in the Christian season of Lent, and our theme today centres upon the temptations of Jesus. We're told in Scripture that the devil prowls around seeking us out and knows our weaknesses. He's described as a lion looking for someone to devour. And in our reading, Jesus is fasting in the desert. He is weak and he's hungry and is tempted by three very subtle, bespoke temptations. Temptations designed especially for him and his situation. But Jesus knows exactly who he is. He has a clear vision of the mission before him and how to stand firm against the devil. Many people have a sense of purpose and are solid and have a real enthusiasm for living. But there are many of us who sometimes feel quite the opposite. Absolutely lost. No sense of self-worth. Tired. Drained. And we fall easy prey to temptations of every kind. We don't know who we are anymore. One newspaper told a story recently of a group of tourists who spent hours one Saturday night looking for a missing woman near Iceland's Eljo Canyon, only to find her among the search party. You see, the group had been travelling through Iceland on a tour bus and stopped near a volcanic canyon. That's when there was word of a missing passenger. A woman who had changed clothes didn't recognise the description of herself and had joined in the search. But the search was called off at about 3 a.m. when it became clear the missing woman was in fact accounted for and searching for herself. God is searching for us too, searching for the child he knows and loves so well, the one who perhaps has gone astray, and he longs for them to come home. St. Augustine of Hippo once prayed, "Lord, thou hast made us for thyself, and our heart is restless until it finds its rest in thee." Here's a song from one of my albums entitled, "I'm Looking for a Person I Once Knew."
I'm looking for a person I once knew, a person who once marvelled at expansive skies of blue, singing birds and dancing fountains, rippling brooks and lofty mountains. In her heart the world danced into view. I've not seen her in a long, long time. Have you? I'm looking for a person I knew well. At least I thought I did, but now I really cannot tell. Heart of flesh, transparent, kind, so quick to offer of her time, delighted in the tasks that she would do. I've not seen her in a long, long time. Have you? I'm hoping very shortly she'll come running back to me. Now so anxious, sometimes blind, with far too much upon her mind. Instead of being still, she has to do. I haven't seen her in a long, long time. Not seen her in a long, long time.
once heard it said that God sees us as we are, loves us as we are, and accepts us as we are. But by his grace, he doesn't leave us where we are. My first memory of succumbing to temptation was when I was a child. It all began when I was hiding under a table in a friend's house during a game of hide-and-seek, and that's when I noticed it. A coloured elastic band. The more I looked at it and dwelt on it, I came up with so many reasons why I should put it in my pocket. So I took it. It didn't belong to me, but I needed it. I had long hair, and I had nothing to keep it up in a ponytail. And of course, it was a beautiful colour, not just brown. But why did I feel so guilty afterwards? It was just an elastic band. At the young age of 8, I knew even then to take something that didn't belong to me was wrong, and I'd done wrong. Here's Al Green singing, "Yield Not to Temptation."
Yield not to temptation. Will help you some others to win. Fight manfully onward, dark passion subdue. Look ever to Jesus, and he will carry you through. Just ask the Savior to help you, to comfort, strengthen, and keep you. He is willing to save you, and he will carry you through. Ask the Savior to help you, to comfort, disdain. God's name hold in reverence. Don't take it in vain. Be thoughtful and honest, kind-hearted and true. Look ever to
someone once said that our conscience is keen at first, like a three-pronged triangle inside of us. The points are so sharp we feel our guilt easily. But the more we do wrong, the more what is sharp becomes blunt, and the pain isn't felt as much in time. An old Chinese proverb has this to say, "You can't stop birds flying around your head, but you can stop them making a nest in your hair." To be tempted is actually not a sin, but to entertain it, fix on it, and then act upon it is. And when we give in to it, we stand to lose something very precious, our good name, our reputation, sometimes even the agonising breakup of family life. Having climbed up onto a slippery slope, it's not an easy thing to stand again. But this next hymn, and the Bible reading which follows, remind us that Jesus walked this earth before us and experienced what it was to be human, just like us. He felt all our sorrows and pains. He knew what it was to be tempted. He knows how difficult it is for us to resist. So who better to turn to than him? Let's listen to a lovely hymn, "Lead Us, Heavenly Father, Lead Us," sung here from Songs of Praise.
Oh,
Here's our Bible reading for today from Matthew chapter 4, verses 1 to 11. Then Jesus was led by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. After fasting 40 days and 40 nights, he was hungry. The tempter came to him and said, "If you are the Son of God, tell these stones to become bread." Jesus answered, "It is written, man shall not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God." Then the devil took him to the holy city and had him stand on the highest point of the temple. "If you are the Son of God," he said, "throw yourself down, for it is written, he will command his angels concerning you, and they will lift you up in their hands, so that you will not strike your foot against a stone." Jesus answered him, "It is also written, do not put the Lord your God to the test." Again the devil took him to a very high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their splendor. "All this I will give you," he said, "if you will bow down and worship me." Jesus said to him, "Away from me, Satan, for it is written, worship the Lord your God and serve him only." Then the devil left him, and angels came and attended him.
Jesus, lover of my soul, let me to thy bosom fly, while the nearer waters roll, while the tempest still is high. Hide me, O my Savior, hide, till the storm of life is past. Safe into the haven guide, O receive my soul at last. Other refuge have I none, hangs my helpless soul on thee. Leave me not alone, still support and comfort me. All my trust on thee is stayed, all my help from thee I bring. Cover my defenseless head with the shadow of thy wing. Start all I want, more than all in thee I find. Raise the fallen, cheer the faint, heal the sick and lead the blind. Just and holy is thy name, I am all unrighteousness. False and full of sin I am, thou art full of truth and grace.
That hymn was Jesus, Lover of My Soul, sung there by Ferdinand Ortega. That first temptation spoke to Jesus' hunger in the wilderness as he fasted. How easily he could have turned a stone into bread to appease his own hunger, but that would have been to use God's power merely to satisfy his own needs. It is said that temptation is the suggestion to get God to do what we want, rather than being willing to do what God wants and then trust him for what we need. And what an impact Jesus would have made had he succumbed to that second temptation, to have actually thrown himself down from the highest point of the temple in order to be scooped up again by soaring angels coming to his rescue. A grand miracle in the sky. Would that not have persuaded the crowds below, especially the religious leaders, of his true identity? Surely such an event would have taken all the pain, sweat and tears out of Jesus' ministry and allowed time for the more important work of salvation and healing. But Jesus resisted this temptation too. Many of us today are tempted to take shortcuts to achieve what we want and become reckless. We're impatient and we want immediate results. We want the easy road, the pleasurable route. But there in the wilderness, Jesus knew the road he had to walk on would be a difficult one. Let's listen to St. John's Cathedral from Los Angeles sing 40 Days and 40 Nights.
40 days and 40 nights, thou hast fasted in the world. 40 days and 40 nights, tempted and yet undefiled.
There's that final temptation with the devil trying to direct Jesus' eyes towards fame and great wealth, power and popularity, on the condition of obeying him rather than God. Don't we like power in some form or other? And don't we sometimes want a little recognition and praise for the good we do? This great desire in the world for power and wealth, fame and glory at any cost, is the most seductive of all temptations today. But are these really what life is all about? So how did Jesus overcome all of these temptations? For a start, he recognized who his enemy was. Secondly, Jesus knew scripture by heart and used it against every one of the devil's attacks. Thirdly, Jesus was obedient to God his Father, always seeking to know him and discern his will through prayer and fasting, forever keeping close to him. There's no end to what we can achieve for God if only we can keep our eyes on him. Here's Marty Horn singing, Eye Has Not Seen.
Eye has not seen, ear has not heard, what God has ready for those who love him. Spirit of
sorrow weigh us down, be near to us, O Lord. Forgive the weakness of our faith and bear us up within your peaceful word.
I have not seen, here I
I once read a story about a famous painting by an artist called Moritz Retsch. I hope I've got his name right there. He painted a chessboard depicting a game in progress. Seated at one side of the board is a youth, with a look of desperation on his face. Across from him there sits the devil, leering sadistically, because the game is over and he has won with a checkmate. Now, according to the story, a certain man returned to the museum day after day to study this painting. He would stand for hours before it, looking at it in great detail. Finally, one day he let out a loud shout. "It's not checkmate! It is not checkmate!" Soon a crowd gathered to see what the commotion was all about. Excitedly, he told them, "I am a chess master. I've studied this painting for days now. And if this young man moves this piece to that square, he escapes checkmate." How clever of the artist to paint that. But the good news today is that there is a way out of the difficulties we find ourselves in. We may feel trapped. We may feel our lives are a complete mess. Checkmate for sure. But it doesn't have to be. The eternal chess master, Jesus Christ, can turn any situation around. Even in the world, he will make a way of escape for all of us if we call upon him. The Bible tells us in 1 John 3:8, "For this purpose the Son of God came into the world, that he might destroy the works of the devil." And so today, at the beginning of Lent, would you join me in this prayer? Lord God, our Heavenly Father, you know the battles we face daily. You know how powerless and despondent we sometimes feel, and yet you are there with us in the depths of our despair. Come restore us, cleanse us and make us whole, so we may serve you, know you, and love you and be restored once more. Amen. And finally, bearing in mind Jesus' words there at the end of that reading, "Worship the Lord your God, and serve him only." Let's listen finally to a song about surrendering to God and getting our priorities in order. Here is "All to Jesus I Surrender," sung by a tremendous group called the Isaacs. It's time to say goodbye now from me, Sheila Hamill, and Andrew.
Bye, everyone.
My technician. Have a good week, everyone. Bye for now.
All to Jesus I surrendered all.